This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
God bless you. Good morning. Time once again for Make It Plain. MIP on 89.3 WPFW FM as we start off this holiday season, Christmas, Kwanzaa, New Year's, all of the above. And so we'll talk a bit on this Monday about a topic that can be a little bit controversial, but is relevant as we all engage in the holiday season. This is actually supposed to be, if I'm not mistaken, is this still cuffing season? Folks supposed to be getting
I think we're in, let me see. Yep, we're moving into cuffing season. Yep.
Is there an official date for cuffing season?
We're in it. I can look it up, but I think we're in
it. It's normally cold weather.
Cold weather.
Folks trying to get together and whatnot. And so here to talk to us about her brand new hot off the presses book, get ready now, Red Flags, Exposing the Manosphere and Protecting Your Heart. My business partner with Community First Solutions, Kidada Asmara Gray. Happy holidays, Kidada.
Well, happy holidays to you too. It doesn't feel like the holidays, but happy holidays. Maybe it'll pop up next week when we're in like 15 degree weather or something.
So now the question I have for you is it a timely topic in cuffing season? I mean, if you make all the brothers angry, ain't nobody gonna be cuffing.
Well, you know, but here's the thing. It is very timely. I think as we move every day, it increases on social media about the manosphere, about the red pillars, about the Kevin Samuels men, about the followers of Andrew Tate and his brother. You know, we laugh about cuffing season, but, you know, cuffing season is about finding someone to, jokingly, as we say, kind of cuddle up with during the holiday season, right? But in this book, it's teaching women and teaching men, because I think men need to read this too, because a lot of men don't believe that my topic is real. The manosphere is real. But if you're looking on social media, you will see it all over the place. Male loneliness, you know, whether men are really upset about a woman being a stay-at-home mom or being a trad wife or be a stay-at-home girlfriend, which is my favorite, the stay-at-home girlfriend concept. And so, listen, let them be mad. I say let them be mad because there's coded language, there's behaviors that women should not need to encounter just to find a mate. And so this is real. This is real interesting stuff.
Right. So right. Is the manosphere?
This has been going back since 2023, and
is the manosphere? That originated, did it not, with white men? Have not some black men assimilated into it?
So no, the manosphere actually is the umbrella, right? Think about an umbrella, and then underneath the umbrella, depending on which way you want to turn the umbrella, you have all different types of men's ideologies, right? So this has been going on for quite some time. And so when men and the internet, I want to say, kind of clash together, this concept of helping men date is how this all began. And there was a brother, a Black male, who used to take phone calls to teach men how to date. You know, because everyone's not like you, Mark, you know, out there in the streets talking to women, feeling comfortable. Everyone's not out there like that. So people would call him, men would call him, and he would
For the record, I'm not out in the streets talking to women. That doesn't sound too kosher.
Because
I have put up limit. And the brother you're speaking of is Kevin.
No, that's not Kevin. I don't even remember that brother's name who started this, but it was.
Oh, okay.
What he started was other people took it. Other men took it. White men took it. And then it has spun out of control. And when I say it has spun out of control, it has spun into real hatred towards women. We've seen it in politics, meaning that we've seen people inside of the manosphere, young men inside of the manosphere, moving towards extreme far right wing ideology, which we kind of align with MAGA. And so, but it's an anti-feminist rhetoric that is a grievance pool for men, right? They think, let me just blame women for everything, all the things that's not right in my life because I don't have emotional maturity, because I didn't go to college, because I haven't amounted to anything, because I don't have my social networks, which that's how a lot of men get their social networks, is via their relationship with the women in their lives. And so they're angry. Men are angry. And there are so many different, I think of like the little runs inside of the umbrella. There's so many different branches of the manosphere, right? We talk about the alphas, right? The men that are like, oh, I'm an alpha. Well, here's the thing. The gentleman that coined the phrase alpha, Lord, it was one of his biggest regrets in his life. This was a white male scientist who was studying, his name is David Mack, and he was studying wolf behavior, right? The hierarchy, the pack behavior. Now, you know, when people, I love language. Let me say that. I love language. And people just grasp onto the things. It's a part of the definition that they want, but not the entire definition. And so what they did, they took this alpha concept that this research scientist, as he followed the wolves and saw that at times there was a hierarchy, right? Meaning someone was an alpha, someone was at the top. However, what they failed to also realize was that subsequent sentences said that this is a familial network and the hierarchy to get to alpha, it switched. It could have been the female wolf. It could have been the male wolf. But there's a group of men who have taken this term alpha and said that they're going to be the top of the top, the best of the best, right? Which is fine. However, they attack men on the other side of it and call themselves beta. They call them the betas, the simps, that they're the men that they would call a man that decided to buy flowers for his wife or his girlfriend, a simp. Why would you be nice to a woman? Why would you share anything with her? Why would you take her out on dates? That's not what we do here. Those are those alpha ones. And then you've got the other men that are just like, you know what, the passport bros, who truly believe that if they leave the United States, and there's passport bros all across the world, mind you. But in the United States, the thought process is, let me leave the United States so I can find a submissive wife, a woman who doesn't want anything. Or they even take it in terms of monetization, right? If I make $50,000 in the United States, I know that's not going to get me far anywhere in the United States. But if I go to Thailand, oh, I'm going to be like a boss in Thailand. Right. So they're taking, but the whole premise is, let me find a woman that I can keep under my thumb. I want her to submit to me. I need to be at the top of the food chain. And that's prevailing thought in some of this manosphere stuff. So anti-woman, anti-feminism, a grievance pool. They love to grieve about their inequities and their inefficiencies in life. And so this is what is spawning the manosphere, including violence, because there's some of them out there that are teaching other men that don't take no for an answer. If a woman turns you down, rejection is not a thing. Go ahead. If she if she turns you down in a sexual, intimate manner, you don't have to accept that rejection. So go ahead and SA her. It's your right. So that's the manosphere.
You mentioned one other category, red pill. Now, which one is that?
The red pillar.
What is it? How's the red pillar work?
So the red pill, they all kind of have streams. So if anyone watched the, I just lost the movie.
Matrix.
The Matrix, right? You had the blue pill and the red pill. So right. The red pill is where we're going to take the worst of the worst, right? And for some odd, and that has been hijacked and adapted to mean like, okay, I'm still going to be at the top of the food chain and I'm going to be the worst nightmare that I can possibly be in relationship to women. And it wouldn't be, I snicker a little bit because it is hard to grasp this concept. Like the relationship between men and women, I feel like we're at a crisis point because we cannot have a conversation, it seems like, without trying to determine who's trying to get over on who, or we're bringing forward our worst relationships into the conversations that we're having instead of realizing that those relationships don't need to show up in this current one, right? Don't need to show up here. I didn't mean to say that out loud.
No, but you're on a few folks' street right now. So not saying that folks, I'm like, well, we ain't got to do with that. This not okay. So other folks bring other stuff into it. So now here's my question.
Yes.
The passport bros. Are black men doing that?
Listen, yes. And I'm going
to
tell you
how widespread is that? I mean, a whole lot of brothers ain't got the means to go to Thailand. I mean, I get your point. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but how widespread is that?
It's widespread enough that I remember before the term passport bros was a thing, I remember the phrase DR Knights. I don't know if you guys remember that. I don't remember. Was Ebony or Essence who wrote this article about Dominican Republic and how many black men were going to DR for these packages, right? And these packages included, let's say you wanted to play golf. You can play golf on this package, but it also included a certain amount of women for you and your friends.
What do you mean included? You paid for women?
Yes, you're paying for this whole package. And there was a huge article many years ago. So men have been traveling to, especially black men, have been traveling to Dominican Republic. They travel to Brazil to the extent that even inside of Brazil, right? In Brazil now, the STD rate is increasing because you have all of these foreigners coming in. Now, mind you, with this, there's a skewed vision of women that they're trying to push out here, right? First and foremost, it sounds really good. Like, I want to find a wife. Okay, that's fine. You want to find a wife that has all of these attributes and characteristics. However, you're going across the world and you're not looking for a wife because you're sleeping with all these women. The two don't match, right? What are you actually going to look for? Are you going to look for sex or are you going to look for a wife? And so they're not uplifting women. They're just going across the seas and having these occasions, right? Parties, golfing trips, whatever you want to name them, with other men, and they're sex trips. They're literally sex trips.
So are you saying, so these men who go on these trips, and it shows y'all, I'm not in the game because I'm hearing this for the first time.
Right.
In fact, the handful of folk I know that take some of these trips, they looking for something else. But anyway, but you're saying they go on these trips, Kidada. Kidada's new book, Red Flags, Exposing the Manosphere and Protecting Your Heart. The manosphere is real. I've talked about it more from a political perspective. I'll get to that in a minute. But you're saying these men take these trips, and while they're on these trips, they're looking for a wife? Or they can't find one here, and they're frustrated and go have some fun?
That's what the claim is, right? Is that they're looking for a wife because a wife in a foreign country is going to be more submissive. If they go to the Caribbean from where I'm from, they're going to find a submissive wife. I still don't know what Caribbean country they're talking about, but there's a lot of them. I don't know. So, but that's the
thing. I don't know no submissive black woman on earth. And the ones who might have been some about, I'm my own worst enemy because I'm always about, I'm a womanist and a feminist and liberation.
Right.
So if I've met folks, they might have been submissive, but when they meet me, they become revolutionary. And the first target when you're a new revolutionary is the brother who's closest to you. I'm just going to say that. So that, I'm going to say this, sisters and brothers, I've never been into that. I was raised by strong women. Mm-hmm. I've never been attracted to a submissive woman. Mm-hmm. You know, I years ago, I dated a sister and she was like that. And I just didn't. She wanted me to come up with everything we would do, everything we would, where we would go. I don't like that because I organize every day. So you come up with, why don't you decide what we're going to do?
Right.
So I've never been into that.
So let me just say this. Because you bring up an interesting point about sisters, right? About black women. So here's the thing. In some of these groups, especially if they have followed Kevin Samuels, and Kevin Samuels is now dead. He was the brother that was that always talked about a high value man and so forth. I mean,
and he messed a lot of brothers up in COVID because that's all they was looking at. And it just kind of.
Let me tell you the thing. When he did not become famous, because initially all his videos had everything to do with black men. Right? If you go back and look, he was teaching men how to dress. He was teaching men how to take a bath. Real things, real videos. He didn't become famous until he started attacking women, especially black women. And so you have like this crew in the Kevin Samuels group that hate, absolutely hate black women. Black women are to blame for everything, everything that these brothers are going through. And they win. So you have the Kevin Samuels crew, they might shift into the passport bro mode. Because when they're looking across the seas, they're not looking for blackness, right? They're not looking for black women. They're looking for other shades of sisters that they deem are submissive by nature, submissive in culture, and particularly they do not want anything. See, because American women, they want a house, they want a car, they want a good lifestyle. Let's go across seas. Let's go find the women that don't want that. There's so many streams of this, but this is why I wrote the book, because I want women to know, I want young men to know, I want fathers to know, I need everyone to know some of the language, because some of this language, if you hear a man talk about, oh, a woman has hit her wall, well, that means when a woman hits 30, she has no more value. She's no longer beautiful. And some of them believe that the peak of womanhood is between the ages of 18 and 24. Do you know why that is, Reverend?
Why? No.
Because guess what? They have no education and they're malleable, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want any woman that has been harmed by another man, right? I want to do all the harm myself. And so I want to shape her. She doesn't know much. She's not educated, because when you go to college, you become a little bit more worldly. You learn things about the world. You meet other people. You're able to get an income. They don't want women that have incomes. Now, here's the interesting thing, which I've never understood. And there's a lot of things in this life.
Black men who don't know when a black woman have no income. Listen, that's crazy. But go ahead. I'll address it. But finish your point.
So you want, if a peak of womanhood is from 18 to 24, she just graduated from high school, right? This is who you want. You want her to be a stay-at-home mom, right? She just literally got out of high school. You want her to be able to cook and clean. And then you want her to raise children. You don't want her to send children to daycare. So mom needs to be daycare, right? And if we understand what daycare looks like, daycare is actually school. Even the infants learn something in daycare, right? Yeah. And I'm like, but you want an undereducated woman teaching your children? It doesn't make any sense. She just got out of high school. That's all she has is a high school degree.
So I want to go back to something, and then we talk about some solutions. To me, and this is where the political comes in.
Now,
it's still this phenomenon to me. You mentioned Kevin himself. Kevin Samuels went viral when he started talking bad about Black women.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, especially in our community, in the Black community, it's more algorithmic than organic. It's encouraged in the algorithms, on social media. And see, I go back to 30 years ago when we had the Million Man March. Black men weren't thinking that way. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the brothers did some whack stuff.
Yeah.
But we came to a tone for the whackness in those days. The whackness today is like you're saying, whether it's the red pill or the passport bros or just having this general resentment. I can't vote for no woman to be president. Can't no woman. That ain't going to get it. I'm just automatically predisposed to a woman in leadership. Yet, Black men went out and voted for Abigail Spanberger, Mike and Cheryl, which they should have done.
Correct.
But see, you didn't see that album. There weren't streams and streams and streams of mobilized Black men on social media saying don't vote for these white women like they were in November 2024. That's how you know this is manufactured. Andrew Tate and them are trying to assimilate all men into this white man's thing. Now, explain to our audience what that thing is about, because they got this, the Andrew Tate, and that all the Emmys, the Netflix show that won all the Emmys, folks, was about this manosphere.
You know,
and that's this 80-20 rule, right? And Black men have assimilated into 80-20, right? And if you think about it, that should be the opposite for us, because there's a disproportionate number of Black women. I mean, y'all could, you know, run the table, because it's more of y'all than us. So it's not, in white folks, he's saying 80-20, 80% of the women are going to choose 20% of the men. And that makes sense. You know, white men have messed up the world. White women are getting over white men. But that does not mean Black women have gotten over us. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't translate.
Do you know what year it is? It's the year of the habit. And you're in luck. Ritual's New Year sale is happening now. Support your health goals with supplements for skin, gut, and more. Ritual's got your back with 40% off your first month, plus a free gift with purchase at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Right?
And I don't even think Black women want to get over with Black men. I think Black men and Black women, I think there needs to be a conversation. There needs to be a TED Talk. Okay. There needs to be like some kind of conversation here. And so I Andrew Tate is known as the king of toxic masculinity. That's an affectionate title that was given to him. Right. And if you don't know about Andrew Tate, let me just say that he used to be on a TV show, whatever. I never saw the brother. But he has 6 legal investigations going on right now. 4 criminal and 2 civil right now, ranging from Romania, the United Kingdom, and inside of the United States. Everything from sex trafficking, coercing women to do sex work. But he actually made his money because he was selling courses, encouraging men to be hateful towards women. Now, see, here's the interesting thing. Some of this manosphere stuff makes sense to me. And I'm going to tell you what makes sense. There's a portion of it that encourages men to have discipline, right? Like, let's really treat our bodies well. Let's learn about our finances. Let's get educated. But for some odd reason, it takes the page flips, and then they go, let's take everything that we've learned here. Like, you know, we've all seen the 48 laws of power. How do you weaponize the 48 laws of power into doing mind control against women? And Andrew Tate, and there's a whole lot of them that I talk about in the book that make money teaching men on how to get over on women, how to hurt women. And specifically in our communities, what I find is fascinating. A lot of these young men, right? And so who we're really targeting a lot of times is between the ages of 16 and 35, even though I hear older men talk about manosphere stuff as well. I don't know why they're still mad, but okay, whatever. That in our communities, I'm like, where's the break? And I see it coming from this rhetoric around single mothers, the baby mama, baby daddy conversations. And they literally, like I said, at the top of the hour, we take that one instance and we roll with that to be the narrative for our entire community. And you hear men, I've heard men say, Black men, my brothers that I love to my heart, say that a woman like me, right, I'm only a plaything because I have children, right? So a woman that has children, she's only a plaything. I've heard grown men say that.
A plaything.
A plaything. She's only there for sex. That's it.
Because see, this is really generational because I always heard in my younger days, as a matter of fact, that it was the opposite. You did not take advantage, especially of a single mother. There was something unprincipled about that.
No, I think the principles. I wonder. So, you know, we talk about the male loneliness epidemic. And like I said earlier, social media, they're making fun of it. But we need to pay attention. We really do need to pay attention. Because just to give a statistic, in 1990, 3% of men said that they were lonely. And by 2021, it had jumped to 15%. When men are disconnected and they don't have relationships and emotional connections to anybody, it's a very dangerous space. So they go online now because that's what social media is here for. Under 30 minutes, they can find whatever it is they're looking for to air their unhappiness. So if they feel like, well, I want these women and these women don't want me, well, I'm not the problem. It's the woman that's the problem, right? So now you're listening in to all of these conversations that other men are saying women don't take accountability. And it's interesting because men and women actually mirror the same language. What they want in a relationship, they want someone who will take care of them, who will talk to them, who will listen to them, who will be able to trust them. It's just a matter of how do we go about it. And in the book, I argue that women need to know the language of the manosphere because when you're presented to it, and you can make your best decision. I'm a big fan of tell the truth up front. Don't bring your representative. Put it all out there up front and allow someone to choose. And a lot of these men are lying, right? This premise of, oh, I'm looking for a wife. But even though you want a wife that's a virgin, but I need to sleep with you first. It doesn't even make any sense. And then you have 18-year-old young men who just graduated. Some of them aren't even out of their mom's house, who follow like a Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes, 20 years old, is at the top of the social media game talking about political hate. He's far right, misogynistic. But 20 years old, never had a girlfriend, and lives in his mother's basement.
But what is a term in your book? I want to just learn some of this, folks. And again, we're going to get to some solutions, and you know, both sides have to take responsibility at some point.
Oh, yes.
Although I don't see any social media where it's, you know, you see Black women just absolutely hating on Black men. Like you see some of these accounts, Black men hating on Black women. Am I saying this word? Well, I don't want to mispronounce it. H-Y-P-E-R-G-A-M-Y. Hypergamy? What is that? Is that, am I saying it right?
Hypergamy. You did. Hypergamy. That's so funny that you said that. Because I was going to look that. I was going to go, okay, I need to make sure that I pronounce it properly myself.
What is hypergamy? We're on with Kidada Asmara, great folks. Red flags, exposing the manosphere and protecting your heart. Brothers, we need to hear from the sisters. First of all, you want a sister, you ain't got no sister. Listen to the sister. I'm talking to the sister right here. I'm not gonna kill you. Hear what they're saying, and then they can hear us. That's how we, you know, would come.
That's how together.
Huh? Okay. Our parents had the Isley brothers. We don't have that no more. Our parents had the Isley brothers. We don't have that no more. You know, we got to work this out. Okay, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
But we have Usher saying it's okay to be in love with a stripper. And I'm gonna leave that alone. I'm gonna leave that right there. So
anyway, you did. You went there. You went there.
I can't even pronounce the word now. I
can't. Hypergamy.
Hypergamy. I did. So hypergamy, that's what we're going to call it. Hypergamy. I'm just going to give the real definition because I like to define it the way it needs to be defined. And so for y'all who like nerd girl like me, it's a noun. It's not a verb. It's a noun. And it is the action of marrying a former or forming a sexual relationship with a person of a superior sociological or educational background. I know you look confused, but here, let me give you context. So in the manosphere world, right, that means I am marrying up, right? As a woman, I am marrying up. So if I'm 18 to 24 and the only education I've had is my K to 12 and I marry a man that has a bachelor's degree, well, he's one, right? He's more educated than I am. He might think that he is more superior intellectually, right? And so that is what they are pushing against the anti-feminist space. Like these men want to be at the top. So good example, they will say things like a woman who is educated, a woman who has a college degree has no function. They're like, we don't care that you are educated. We don't care what your degree is. It has no value. It has no purpose. So we don't want to have an educated conversation with you. We don't, if you're an accountant, if you have an MBA, totally disregard it. They want to be at the top in their relationship. There's no partnership. There's no partnering. There's no, you lean into what I bring to the table. I lean into what you bring to the, there's none of that. It is literally that they think that they're at the top of the food chain, that they are the high value man. Now, what's really interesting, right, in the Kevin Samuels land of high value man, right, one of the first, and he had a whole bunch of criteria. One of the first things was a high value man had to make six figures, okay, salary. Most of the men in the United States on average make somewhere between $50,000 and $72,000. So a lot of men who play into this, they don't even meet the criteria, but they want the dream of power, right? And I want to say something. So come for me if y'all want to, but I want y'all to think about this, especially my brothers. The patriarchy was never designed by women. I just want to put that out there. It was not designed by women. We can go back in history and go all the way back and know that the patriarchy was designed by a king, by a ruler, right? That one person, the king, had the power over everybody. He had lords underneath him that went around and collected taxes and made sure everybody was okay, right? Predominantly white, because I ain't see us in Game of Thrones, just like notice right now. So you had the lords who went around and they executed the power of the king. The power of the king went so far as the king could tell you who you could sleep with. If you married, he could sleep with your wife. So here you have a group of men that have no power, right? So then because they can't take it to the top, so you take it to what's closest to you. So who do you have power and control over? It's not the Lord and it's not the king. It becomes your wife, your children, and your animals. Because those are the things that became yours when you became a quote unquote independent married man, okay? In white society. Now here, that's the patriarchy, because the king designed what maleness was. He decided what manhood was, which was you go out into the fields, you work, you bring that money home, you tend to your family, and you pay your taxes, okay? Here's where it becomes interesting for Black men. Most of us with our brown colored skin, we didn't come here empowered. We didn't come here independently. We came here under a system where we were enslaved. So guess what? Under white men and the white patriarchy, you weren't a wife, Black men. You weren't children, Black men. You were an animal, Black men. And so you fell into another level of something that they could control. So now we have, here we are in 2025, everyone's fighting against the patriarchy, but you have Black men that want access to white patriarchy. And one of the only things that you can do to get access to white male patriarchy, and it's not even, here I am, man, it's not my sexual organs, it's about who can I oppress? And the only person I can oppress are women. But you're still not, you still don't have the same power of the patriarchy, because it wasn't even designed with you in mind. So now you have Black men that are entering into these spaces, right? And they're fighting to be seen and to be heard, which I understand. And I heard a brother say the other day, I just want someone to listen to me. And here's where, here's a solution. Women, we have to listen, because we are not dealing with men that grew up in 1902. We're dealing with young men now that came up in a school system where the word of the day was kindness. Can you talk about what kindness means? There is an emotional intellect and definition and like a memory bank that has been built inside of men that we are refusing to hear from them. And that's part of the challenge that we have going on right now.
Wow. Before we move to other solutions, let's look at the other side of this. Everything you said is, everything you said is real and is happening. Women are frustrated. And so sometimes women will prejudge those of us as men, thinking we come out of that Manosphere Kevin Samuels camp, when we don't. So how do we get away from, I mean, they're obviously generalizations on both sides, unfortunately. That's what this thing does. So how do we do that so some of us can get ourselves together and before the holiday season, find somebody nice and get cuffed? I mean, nobody want to be alone, y'all. Everybody's lonely. We get it. Although I will say, I still maintain that a lot of this is Black men's assimilation into white patriarchy. Because we weren't always like this. And Kevin Samuels helped us get there. I don't, you know, I was no fan of his. Yep. This is not helpful. And some of my brothers may be mad about that. Now, what we also have, this story, this big piece came out the other day, Jacob Savage in CompactMag.com. You can read it. You don't have to. I can tell you what it was about, how white men have been sidelined in this atmosphere. In favor of DEI and affirmative action. None of the statistics are true, one. Two, Black men, Black women have lost more jobs in this first year of Trump than anybody. So if everybody thinking Black women are doing great and you as Black men are being left behind, that is not true. So back to my question though, Kidada, Red Flags, Exposing the Manosphere and Protecting Your Heart, the book, available everywhere. What is it that, what do you say to Black women to keep them from, you know, being prejudicial when it comes to being approached by Black men, some of whom may be real and do the right thing?
So I would say to Black women and women in general, listen, we need to have ourselves together first, right? We need to know what it is that we're looking for, but we also need to know who we are as women, right? What our boundaries are, what it is that we are seeking outwardly, but inwardly first, right? Don't go playing in somebody else's sandbox and yours is messy. Don't do it. Because no one, the mate is not there to heal you. I just need to say that. Like, your mate is not there to heal you. And so when you're encountering men, when you're encountering men, sisters, because my second book, I'm actually going to write a dating guide to this. But can we first just go back to something from back in the day? Follow me here, Mark, back in the day. Remember when we used to just talk on the phone? Just talk on the phone. And we had these relationships that were just on the phone. I need us to really go back to talking on the phone. Before we start jumping into a date, you need to vet people. Vet people. Ask them questions that align with your politics. Ask them what about their religion. In the book, I literally say, if you tell a man that you are a churchgoer, and he's like, oh yeah, I believe in God. Okay, the next question is, what's your church? If online, do you attend? Like, you have to start asking these questions so you get to know the person. You should never get to a dinner setting where now that's when you decide, oh my God, I hate this person. You should not know by the time you get, before you arrive there, you should already know if this person aligns with you politically, if they align with how you see about family, marriage, all these things. But we don't do that. We want to be in the front so quickly, but you're not doing any favor. You're not doing anything. You're frustrating him because he's going to think that if it doesn't work after the first date at the restaurant, oh, you just used me for my $75 dinner, right? That's what's going to come up. But we have got to start having real conversations. And in those conversations, we need to know our boundaries. And we have to hold to our boundaries, sisters. We do. And because men know that if they can get you to flex their boundary just a little bit, it's a wrap. They in like Flynn. But on the other side, I'm going to speak to you. Go ahead, Mark.
This applies to both sides. Sharks smell blood in the water. And when sometimes when whatever gender comes across as desperate, then, you know, unfortunately, we are human beings. And sometimes it's human nature to take advantage of that, you know? And so, brothers, when we're dealing with our sisters, think about it. There is a mathematical shortage of available Black men to do anything for Black women.
Yep.
Even if they ain't got no job.
Yeah.
The man you love might, maybe all he can do right now is wash your car every day. And there's even a shortage of brothers who can only do that one thing. You understand? So we got to understand that.
Right.
Right. And brothers, we can't be prejudicial against Black women and mad at them because of what somebody said on the internet. Your mama was a Black woman, fool. Now,
see, watch. That's why.
Watch this. People talk about the brother in Michigan, Sharon Moore, married to a white wife, got fired for having a relationship with a white staffer, white woman staffer. Okay, and I've seen Black men and Black women on all sides of all of that. Now, we haven't seen all the facts.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I still come from the place of, you know, let's see all the facts with the situation. But it doesn't help. It's not healthy because, again, it promotes this notion that Black men want a white woman. And it's just
when
not.
They've made it so far.
Yeah, and see, some folk were ready to jump out there. Oh, we got to defend this Black man. And I said, well, no, hold up. This ain't clean. Well, she might have set him up. Okay, well, if that's so, we will see that. That will come out.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just, at this stage, I still don't have a lot of sympathy for brothers. And I don't, you know, I don't want to sound like Dr. Umar at all, because he got his own thing going on and his own contradictions. But I'm not for playing in the snow. We come from queens and kings, right? So if I'm going to get taken out, it ain't going to be like that. Right. I mean, so, you know, I just think we need to think about all of these things. But you were saying how women have to listen. A lot of brothers don't feel listened to. I actually encounter a lot of sisters who don't feel listened to. I think also in this moment, people are more in touch, whether they can articulate the problem, Kidada. People are more touch and aware of their mental health more than ever before. And again, everybody can't articulate it. Mm-hmm. And everybody certainly doesn't have the resources or the health insurance to get the clinical help they need.
Right.
So Kidada's right. The person you kicking it with is not a clinician, y'all. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you got to realize that, because a lot of us get, you know, get in these relationships and we're looking for someone to be the therapist. And some of us need real life clinical therapy. And then we get frustrated in a relationship because the relationship didn't provide. That's not what the relationship is for. That person is not qualified. And right. I say that in this relationship. I say it in the church. If it was up to me, every local church would also have a clinician on staff. Because some folk need more than the Bible verses. I mean, I'm not saying to put nobody down.
True.
That's real. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've encountered folk. I'm not talking about folk, you know, I'm not talking about folks I'm trying to kick it with, but folks call me and say, oh, I'm Reverend Mark. I'm not Dr. Mark.
Right.
As a clinician.
Right.
And, you know, I'm trying to talk to you. I say, I know, and I'm flattered, but this is above my pay grade.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to talk to somebody that can help you sort out some of that. But move about 10 minutes left. Tell us more about, and so brothers, if we want the sisters to listen to us, we have to listen to them. So let's listen to the sister. Tell us what Black men need to be doing. And brother, I say this in the spirit of the Million Man March. We atoned and took responsibility, and we focused on reconciliation. That didn't take us down as men. That didn't harm us. That didn't belittle us. That didn't make us less men to atone, take responsibility, and reconcile. A real man can do. Don't buy in the. And see what you. Trump is the manifestation, the pathological manifestation of a small, insecure white man. I'm talking to the white man. Listen, we don't need to assimilate into that. We need to believe in ourselves and take. That's what we're supposed to do as men, and defend Black women. And stand for them and hear what they need. So, Sister Kidada, again, the book Red Flags, Exposing the Manosphere and Protecting Your Heart, is written to Black women. But what would you as a Black woman say to Black men about what we need to be thinking about and doing?
Therapy. I think that Black men need to find a mentor. They need to find a therapist if they can find one, afford one. I think Black men need to really fight for their space in a healthy way. So, you know, my background is in conflict. So in the space of conflict, which I don't see as a problem, I just want to put that out there. Conflict only means an argument. It's just a discussion. It's about the way you argue. That's the problem. That's where we catch the problems in relationships. And for Black men, I feel like I statements need to really come forward. And this is going to sound basic, but there's literally an emotional wheel. Have you ever seen the emotion wheel that tells there's like over 300 emotions? Go look for it. Because I feel like we need to be more in tune with our emotions. Rage and anger can't be the only emotions we have, especially in Black men. You know, and something you said to me that resonated with me, Mark, you know, the Million Man March, so powerful. I was in college during that time, right? Thought I was running down to DC to go find a husband. But let me just tell you something, that when we think about the Million Man March and we think about the young men, now the men that showed up, and we think about their sons or their grandsons, that's what we're dealing with now, right? These are the angry Black boys with high suicide rates. Listen, I love my two sons. I love little Black boys. And let me just tell you all something, ladies. Our men and our boys are killing themselves at high rates because they're not heard. We're not listening to them. One of the phrases that I dislike so much with little boys is calling them little man. In the Black community, we feel like, oh, that is such a cute little affectionate name. It's not cute because it puts on all of these attributes on a three-year-old, right? Like, what does a three-year-old know about manning up? You can tell little boys not to cry, but the heart, but their heart is now you're hardening their hearts, and you're sending them out in the world, and you're sending them out in the world where they're encountering young women and grown women who are like, I need you to have a conversation with me, but yet they cannot have a conversation because we have quenched their thirst and their ability to say what it is and who they are to us, right? And so one of the things that I love to hear about and from men right now is like, I am not just a paycheck. So when you hear a man say that, right? He's just not a paycheck. Let's look at the totality of, so women, we need to look at the totality of man, right? So whatever our vision is of a man, we need to know, we need to go find that. Don't bother the brother that doesn't match it for you. Don't harass that brother. Because there's some toxic women out here. Let's be clear. There's some toxic women that'll be like, listen, he's not man enough. He's not whatever. But what I do know is, dear Black man, I need you to go heal. And you can heal and get whatever you want without harming Black women. We say back in the day, keep our names out y'all mouths. If we're not what you want, we're okay with that. Go find what you do want, right? Go find what you do want and leave everyone else alone. And that's the part of it that's challenging. You know what I want. That doesn't mean I have to disregard someone else or disrespect someone else in that space. And that's what we're seeing in the media, in social media. That's what we're seeing. And we're seeing it in our community. And it's hard to see. Listen, I've got a soon-to-be 21-year-old baby boy. Okay. That's my baby. I ask him, who does he listen to? I need to know what podcast he's listening to, because I need to know if he says stuff like, okay, women, you know, I need to know the narrative. What's he saying? If my child ever comes home and says, well, all women do this, I'm going to go, okay, hold on now. We need to have a conversation, because he's leading into certain ideologies that are untrue. And it's my responsibility as a parent to go, no, 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 no. Why do you feel that way? What have been your interactions with young girls? We have young Black boys in high school saying, I do not want to date a Black girl because they're mean. They're too loud. And so I didn't write this text, right? It's not against men. I really want women to be exposed, or anybody that wants to know, what does this manosphere look like? A condensed version. It's written as a journal. It's written as, because I'm always reflective because I'm a coach. But I'm putting out there with my co-author, the essential rules of the game. Because dating is no longer the same. I've heard men say the dating rules that they thought were to be true are no longer true, right? Where do we find an equal footing for man and woman to exist together without it being problematic? And so this text was written, well, I guess I should do this. This text was written, I've got my little tabs, was to teach women, really? Like, what are we doing here? What does it mean when he's just like, all women are this? Ask a man, what does traditional mean? Mark, what does a traditional woman mean to you?
You're asking me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ooh. You know, I was raised exclusively by Black women. And obviously, I had a lot of mentors. But they were exceptional. One thing I've never done is look for or try to hold a woman to the standard of my mother or my grandmother or my great-grandmother, if it ain't matter. Because my mother and grandmother went to work every day.
Right.
My great-grandmother, I stay with my great-grandmother. Because, I don't think that's fair. I mean, generations change, things are different. And, you know, they were extraordinary. I don't know what standard. I mean, obviously, if there's any standard I would have, obviously, is that a sister is Black, Afrocentric, politically aware.
Uh-huh.
And somebody asked me that the other day, and I said, somewhere on the spectrum, on the low end of civil rights, all the way up to Pan-Africanism. The women who raised me did not prepare me for, honestly. And I'm just going to be vulnerable here. Was the transactional nature of every relationship I've been in as a man. To the point where that becomes the thing. What is the transaction? And it always had to be money, because I've never been a wealthy man to begin with.
Yeah.
But what are you, Brother Mark, producing and giving? This one, and I've never done that. The folks I have been with and, even been in love with, I liked them. And I wasn't like trying to get, I'm not the kind of brother who requires a woman to cook and clean so many times a day. Or in fact, I encourage women in or out of a relationship. You should be educated.
That's right.
You should be making a difference in the world.
That's right.
Out here.
Yep.
Right? If you can, whatever that is. And everybody's not called to be a lot of other things and to be, people aren't necessarily even as called to be as public of an activist as I am. But make your mark. Let everyone know what you did to leave this place better off than when you found it. Now, in fairness, some will say, oh, well, that's just his side of the story. And I get that. I get all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just always tried to serve. And if I'm going to serve the community, I've got to serve my partner as well. That's why it was never a thing for me. Atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility. You said something, though, that really kind of struck me. Some people are just looking for something else, whatever that is.
Right.
And when you're not it, they're angry at you. But it's not their fault.
It's not
my fault.
Right.
I'm not.
Yes.
So I'll be vulnerable again. I probably shouldn't say this, but this is real. I'm the brother who's kind of in the middle.
Uh-huh.
too much of an activist and revolutionary for the sisters who may be looking for the straight-laced, corporate-type brother. Never been corporate. I mean, I work for corporate. I work for a big media corporation. Or on the other hand, I've met sisters who consider themselves more revolutionary than me, and I'm not revolutionary enough. I'm going through this thing now. I didn't know there's this thing about light-skinned men now. That's the thing. There's a level of disdain. I made the mistake of going on a Facebook post about my brother Farrah Grayhead, and he opened up this conversation. And yeah. See, I remember I came up at a time when light skin was in. That was cool.
Right. Yeah.
And then Wesley Snipes appeared, and now nice light skin ain't nothing no more. It's like, that's a problem. And I've even had people very, very close to me. And when I say this person will know who it is. It wasn't somebody I was in a relationship with, but it was someone close to me. Made a comment once about a weak, light skin. That's just another weak ASS light skinned man. I said, so that goes together? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm processing that now. Like, and it took me a minute. I read that and it took me a minute. And I texted everybody I knew. I said, does this apply to me? He's like, no, brother, don't internalize that. But I did.
Right.
And I mean, I'm okay. I mean, I'm dealing with it. But it's just so much out here that we have to negotiate through. And last thing I'll say is that being a minister hadn't helped me because I'm held to a certain standard. But also, I've met women who have expressed to me that they don't feel they can live up to the standard of ministry because they know if you're a minister and we hook up and we have a certain thing, and some folk don't feel they can do it and don't want to.
Right.
So, brother, that ain't my calling.
Which is all right.
Yeah, I get it. So it's all of those things.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
But I'm listening. I said too much about myself than I wanted to. So you tricked me into doing that. Normally, I'm the one who's doing
it. I did it for a purpose. And the reason I did it was because no matter shade of person, if you want to get into a relationship with someone, the point of this book and more books to come and what we're looking at in terms of when we want to build a relationship is that we should be speaking the same language, right? The reason I asked you about traditional, right, is because if I come to you and we're supposed to start dating and I'm like, listen, you tell me you want a traditional wife, I need to know what that means. And if I say, well, that doesn't match what my definition is, then we need to be adults. And we need, there's two things we can do here. We can negotiate so that way we come into an understanding. So we've defined the word for ourselves inside ourselves, or we need to walk away.
Yeah. And be mature about it.
Right, and be mature about it because...
Or be open to the... Here's third option, and we got to go. The possibility that someone can learn what you want in a partner, and they can decide, you know what? Let me see if I can meet you there.
Exactly.
Because we all growing and transforming.
Right.
Right? And so, folks, the book is Red Flags, Exposing the Manosphere and Protecting Your Heart. Get it for the holidays. Read about it. Let's better ourselves going into 2026. Kidada Gray, we thank you.
Thank you for having me here. Appreciate you.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.